Today's scripture comes from John 3:16, and it is found in your bulletin in the lower right. We're going to read it together, as we have been doing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son,
that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord grant His blessing to the hearing and to the reading of it.
Amen.
Thank you.
That was the very first hymn that my sons learned to sing. I remember sitting in Peculiar, Missouri at a picnic table, and Greg was like 3, and Ian would have been 6, I guess, and we learned all those verses. And you know what? They still know that hymn. Like, is that something? I don't know what I had for lunch yesterday. You know, today we're going to continue our series on the Bible's greatest hits, and we're taking a closer look at some of the most popular Bible verses. If you've been here for a couple weeks, you know that's what we've been doing. We're going to find out why they're so popular and why they apply to our lives. Now, what you might discover is that some of these verses don't mean what you think they mean, and some of them mean a whole lot more than what you think they mean, because so often we don't look at our favorite verses in the light of the passages in which they appear. And a lot of times this leads to misunderstanding about the true meaning of the verse. So this is my hope, is that this will give you food for thought and that about your favorite verses, and that you would gain new understanding about what our favorite verses are. Now, our first verse was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The second verse was last week, it was Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Today, we're going to focus on what is probably the most well-known verse of all time, and if you have your bulletin out there, we can say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. And that's John 3:16. Martin Luther had a word to say about this passage. He called it the gospel in miniature. It has 27 words, and it sums up the entire gospel. It has become the mantra of our faith. The verse, though, has a problem. And the problem of the verse is overexposure. You know, we know it so well, we see it, and, you know, it just doesn't mean anything to us anymore. You know, it's been read, it's been quoted just so often that most of us don't feel the incredible power that is reflected in this verse. And for some people, it's even become offensive because they connect it to some well-meaning but misguided soul who tried to browbeat them into becoming a Christian. You know, kind of like the turn and burn approach to evangelism. Many have just gotten tired of seeing it. You know, you've gotten tired of seeing 3:16 on a sign behind the goalpost in the end zone. It just suffers from overexposure. And as a result, most people, even Christians, we see this verse and we give a large collective yawn. So my goal in preparing the sermon this week is to feel the power of this sermon again, to push aside all of the baggage that we have assigned to it, and to view it with fresh eyes and fresh understanding. Because I truly believe that if you can see this verse like it was the first time, that the peace that came over you when you first claimed Christ as your Savior will come to you again. I also believe that if you allow yourself to experience the truth of this verse, it will, as Scripture assures us, it will set you free. Now, so whether you are a Christian who just needs the fire rekindled in your walk with God again, or if you are a skeptic who is hoping that there really is more to life than what you have experienced so far, the truth of today's verse can set you free from whatever chains are holding you back in your life. It can give you the peace that you are longing for. Now, Jesus spoke about the freedom that we long for in chapter 8 of John. 8:31 and 32, this is what it says. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you continue in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, I don't know what you need to be set free from today, but I do know that Jesus can set you free from it. You know, maybe it's shame, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's resentment and bitterness. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's some heavy burden that you have been carrying. Whatever it is, The truth of Jesus can break your chains and set you free. You know, underneath all of our appetites, underneath all of our striving for things that do not matter, underneath all of our restlessness, there is a longing for the truth that will set us free. And, oh my, doesn't our world need to be set free? Free from hateful politics, free from evil intent, free from anger, free from violence, free from greed, free from taking advantage of the most vulnerable. God bless you. Now, if you have something that you would like to be set free from, let's do something we never do in the church. Give me an amen if you have something you would like to be set free from.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, but what is this truth that will set us free? Jesus said we will know the truth. And once we know the truth, it will set us free. But, okay, well then what is it? It's John 3:16. John 3:16 has the truth that will set us free. So we need to take a closer look at this verse so that we can know the truth. So the context of this verse is all about an individual who wanted to be free. His name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, leader of the Jews. He was a religious man who followed the law to a T. He had devoted his whole life to earning God's love and grace by following a bunch of religious rules and obligations. 619 of them, to be exact. Maybe you can relate to Nicodemus. You know, maybe you've always kind of seen your faith as an extension of a bunch of thou shalt nots. Nicodemus was tired of religion as a bunch of hoops to be jumped through, and he wanted to be set free. He had heard Jesus preach. He had heard Jesus teach, and he knew there was something really different about him. Now, we know that was Holy Spirit or Son of God, right? But there was just something about Jesus when he was in his presence that just moved Nicodemus, and he could tell there was something different. Jesus was unlike any rabbi that Nicodemus had ever known. Jesus didn't talk about rules and regulations. He didn't talk about doing this and doing that and not doing this and not doing that. Nicodemus just wanted to experience this truth that Jesus was preaching about. He wanted to be set free from the rules and laws and shame and judgment. Nicodemus wanted his chains broken. But it was tricky, because Nicodemus was part of a group that hated Jesus. Okay, so Jesus was pretty much telling them that they had been doing it all wrong, and they didn't really like that. So Nicodemus snuck away to meet Jesus at night so that no one would know. In the third chapter of John, Nicodemus asked Jesus some questions about how to be set free. And Jesus told him that he needed to be born from above. He needed to be born again. We, all of us who are living in this sanctuary, we have been born of the water of our mother's womb. I mean, that's just biology. But what Jesus was saying was that they needed to be born of the Spirit. Two births. Physical birth. Spiritual birth. That's what we celebrated when we had believer baptism. Back in the day, when people claimed Christ and they were born again, that's when they got dunked. That was when baptism happened, and that's what we're celebrating. We're going to recognize those folks today. But this kind of confused Nicodemus, because he wasn't used to talk like that. We've heard that. We have heard it. But back then, again, they weren't talking like that. It was all physical stuff, right? So Jesus told him how things were going to unfold. And he said he was going to be lifted up for all the world to see, and then Nicodemus would understand. Now, Jesus was referring to his crucifixion, because Jesus really thought that once Nicodemus saw him on the cross and really got the sacrifice issue, because Nicodemus understood about sacrifices, and when he really opened his heart, he really thought that the light was going to come on in Nicodemus' head and he was going to get it. And that he would experience the truth, and the truth would set him free. It's then when the Gospel of John reveals the truth that sets us free. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. I'm thinking we should break this down. Take a look at this. So that we can find the freedom that we are all longing for. For God so loved. And I want us to hear this word because we gloss over this and it just doesn't mean anything. It's like we're reading a menu and it means so much more than that. Experience this word. Think about, just right now, think about somebody you love. And I mean love, love, love. Think about somebody you love. And think about how that feels. And think about how that looks. God loves you more. Whoa. Right? So many people see God as a power-hungry deity that just demands obedience and submission. Mark, have you got my Chinese gods? Just like these Chinese gods. Take a look at these cuties. There you go. Chinese gods, the men, as far when they could sit with as far apart as their legs, that showed how manly they were. All the men are sitting with these are Chinese gods. Take a look at the next one. I have about four of them. These are Chinese gods. Little dragon doing his thing. You wouldn't believe how much praying I did in the presence of these things. Okay, this guy, he was just mad. I mean, he was close to two stories tall. I mean, you were tiny when looking up at him. Next guy. There are pillows in front of each one of them so you could kneel and pray. And then a place where you could use WeChat to digitally move money into their account. This guy, yeah, you wanted to give money to the temple. Yeah. Bunch of cuties, right? I think there's one more. Is there another one? Jack? Is that it? Anyway, this is not unusual. I mean, sure, these guys are the Chinese gods, but a lot of people have this feeling about God. You know, that God's like the, you know, cosmic whack-a-mole game. You get out of line, he's going to thump you, you know. Some think God is not satisfied until we're groveling and feel terrible about ourselves and beg and crawl our way to him, you know. And that's just not the God revealed in Jesus Christ. It's not the God revealed in John 3:16. So think about somebody you love. Seriously. Think about how that feels. Think about how that looks. God loves you. You were his baby. You are his child. He created you and he wants you to be happy and he wants you to be whole. You know, how many of us who have children, we want him to be happy and we want him to be whole, and sometimes we could just cuff him upside the head, but we love him. So how much does God love you exactly? Well, let's take a look. For God so loved. We overlook this tiny little word, so. For God so. God so loved the world. Not just America. Not Britain, necessarily. Not Mexico. God so loves. He loves us so much. I love what Max Lucado always says. God loves us so much that if he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. But for God, you know, it wasn't just lip service. God showed his deep love for us. He gave. God didn't hold anything back. He gave. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't always get this verse. I mean, I just didn't get it. I mean, yeah, I mean, I got it, right? But I mean, I knew what it said. But I did not get this verse until I held my firstborn son in my arms. And I looked down in his little face when I first held him, and in my head, a little voice said to me, "Who would you let kill him?" And then another little voice said to me, "Who would you let him die for?" That was a sobering moment for me. You know, I thought as I looked at him, I did not get the truth of John 3:16 until I saw that and thought to myself, I would not let anyone kill him. I would not let him die for anyone, especially not somebody who hated him. And yet that's what God did. Think for a minute, who would you give up your child for? Or if you don't have children, you have a beloved pet that was your beloved pet, it was your soulmate. Who would you even give up
you're paid for. Who would you let kill your child? Now, this is where the verse gets a little tricky for some of us. Okay, first, we hear that Jesus is God, and now Jesus is God's son, and he sent him to die for us, so some people wonder how that works. Well, if you ever felt that way, you are not alone, and I'm going to make it plain, hopefully. It's about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay? It's about an orange with seeds and pulp, which is not the orange, it's all the orange, right? Okay, the Trinity, it's all God. We don't believe in three gods. The Trinity is expressing the three ways that God expresses himself to us. God is defined by what God does, and God the Father creates, the Holy Spirit guides. The Son is with us, loves us more than we can imagine. But you know, when we get to heaven, the only face of God that we will see is going to be Jesus' face, okay? But we can't understand God because we have these little pea brains, you know. So God has given us Jesus to understand. So the way that we can understand this verse, and God knew that, okay? So he has given us Jesus so that we can connect. So one of ways for us to understand this verse is that on the cross we see God giving the most vulnerable part of himself to us. Philippians says that God emptied himself to us in Christ. It was the ultimate display of love. On the cross, God in Christ is saying, you want to know how much I love you? Let me show you how much I love you. I love you this much. Okay, and then he says everyone. The verse that says everyone who believes in him. God so loved the world. Okay, it doesn't say God loved perfect people. It doesn't say God so loved the religious people. It doesn't say God so loved the bold and the beautiful. God loved the entire world that he created. His love is limitless. He loves the victim and he loves the perpetrator. His grace is available to everyone. And that grace invites everyone to have a relationship with him. Then the ball's in our court. Believes in him. Oh, man. People think they get this. This is such a misunderstood word. You know, believe does not make some kind of, it does not mean some kind of an intellectual understanding. You can say, oh yeah, I get it. You know, I get it in my head. You know, I mean, I believe it. But it just doesn't mean that you've done some kind of a bunch of mental gymnastics and you've come to a rational decision that God is real and you're going to believe in him. Okay, it is not that. Because in Scripture it says that even the demons believe in God. And there's just this mystery to God that we can never wrap our finite minds around, which is why we have Jesus. But I just was looking for a different word because we just don't seem to get this. And I think the word is invest. Wherever or whenever you invest your heart, and when you invest your life, and you invest your actions in God and his love, that's when you will experience life as you were destined to. It's an investment. It's not just a mental assent, okay? It's not just a yeah, okay, yep, I believe it. No, it is not that. It is an investment of your heart and life. And then, take a look at that. Will not perish, but have eternal life. When you invest your life into God and his love, you will not perish. That means you are not going to live a purposeless existence. You are not going to live a meaningless existence. You will live an eternal life. And that actually literally translated means life of God. It is a life of joy, hope, peace, strength, meaning, and purpose, and adventure. And it's eternal in its duration. But the cool thing about it is it begins now. So I believe John 3:16 can be summed up in five words. The truth that's going to set you free today is, you know, God is just crazy about you. God is obsessed with you. God is stalking you. Think about that. Do you remember how you felt when you fell in love for the first time? For some of us, it's been a really long time ago, okay? But think about that. When you fell in love for the first time, oh my, it was like fireworks, right? Well, you know what? Just turn to your neighbor and say, God's crazy about you. Just do that right now. God's crazy about you. I mean, He's obsessed with you. He is. God is obsessed with you. God is stalking you. Augustine said, God loves each one of us as if there is only one of us to love. God didn't hold you back, didn't hold anything back to show you how much he loves you. And he wants you to live a life set free from your chains. He wants you to live a life full of purpose and meaning. And he wants the world to be a better place because you live in it. And believe it or not, convincing people of this is the toughest job I have as a pastor, honestly. There are just so many voices out there in the world just tearing people down. There are just so many people with a toxic faith twisting the gospel into something unrecognizable for Bible-believing Christians. You know, my job as a preacher, above all else, is to help people experience the all-consuming, never-ending, reckless love of God. So no matter where they are on their journey, their chains are broken. We need to get back to experiencing God and his love. And we need to get back to feeling just how crazy God is about us. And when we understand that, we no longer need to be the center of attention. We no longer need to be out there grasping for everything that we think we deserve. You know, it strikes me that in the church, we spend a lot of time talking about what we think about God and how we understand God. And we spend a lot of time discussing what we think and what we understand about the Bible and our faith. And those are good things. We must have a thinking faith. But what I don't hear very often talked about in the church is people talking about their experience with God. We need to get back in touch with our personal experience with God. You know, you need to find somebody in the church. You find a group in the church. We've got enough acronyms in this church that you can find somebody about God in this church. And you need to start talking about your experience of the love, the grace, and the power of God. And the more you do that, the more you're going to be aware of how much God loves you and how much he loves other people. I mean, God just does some crazy stuff. I mean, I kind of cheat because, like, I'm seeing it all the time. You know, it doesn't, I guess I should repent for this. I'm not even surprised by it anymore sometimes. You know, when I don't see somebody for forever and ever and ever, and just somehow someday I think I got to go and see them. I got to go see them, and I walk in and it's their birthday that day. And that happens to me all the time. Or, actually that day it happens to me all the time, but I mean it happens to me sometimes when it's close too, but on that day, or sometimes I'll just stop in somewhere and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. I don't know if you guys remember Sylvia Shaner. Do you remember godly Sylvia Shaner? Love that woman. Rick, you remember her. You guys are buddies. Do you know, this is no lie, I'd go to see Sylvia and she would walk in, she'd say, I called you. Did she ever tell you this, Rick? She'd say, I called you. And I was like, I didn't get the message. She's like, oh, no, I didn't call you on the phone. I called you in my head. Which put a lot of pressure on me, I'm just saying. She'd be like, yeah, I called you in my head. You know, I knew you'd stop by. You know, I mean, I'd be like, oh, Lord, let me always hear from you when Sylvia's calling me. I never wanted to be disappointed. She never was. Remember, I showed up. When she called me, I showed up. You know, I just want you to be aware of how much God is intimately involved in your life, you know, because the awareness and the experience of that will set you free. I know some of you need to experience God's love in the worst way. And you've been beat up and you've been put down and you've been knocked out and you've been pushed aside by people in life. And maybe you are thinking, does anybody love me? You know, does anybody care about me? Does anybody even understand what makes me tick? Does anybody know how I feel? You might be thinking that. But Christ reaches out to you with nail-scarred hands and he said, I do. He says, I do. He says, I love you. He says, I understand you. I care about you. I am crazy about you. And he says, I'm here, and I love you, and I will break your chains if you'll let me do that. For God so loved the world. Now, I remember teaching is years ago preaching at a chrysalis. I think it was in Bowmanstown that year. That was rustic. Anyway, after I was done, this young woman kind of hung around to talk to me. I had seen her around, you know, places. You know, you see faces. I didn't know who she was. But she hung around. She wanted to talk to me, and we sat down at a picnic table. You know how in Bowmanstown they were under the trees? Everybody kind of went to a meal. I don't know. It was late. It was dark. It was getting dark. And we sat down at this picnic table, and, you know, she said, I have to find out if something's true. You know, I said, well, you know, I'm a captive audience. She said, well, you know, tonight you told me that God loves me. Do you really believe that? And she said, I don't believe anyone's ever loved me. He said, my dad left. I have no idea whatever happened to him. My mother abused me. I was moved from one institution to another. She said, I've been sexually abused. I've been neglected. And she said, and I still don't have a permanent place to live. And you're telling me that God loves me. And I looked at her and I said, that's right. That's what I know for certain. You know, I don't know about all that other stuff, but what I do know is that God loves you. And I said, you want to know how I know? I said, because God got up on a cross and he said, this is how much I love you. Well, she kind of teared up. And she said something that was so profound that I've remembered this encounter all of these years later. She said something that was so profound that for many Christians, it takes them a lifetime to learn. And this is what she said. Well, if God really loves me, then nothing else matters. She said, if God loves me, then that's all that matters. And I was really blown away by that, because that was wisdom not from me. It was wisdom from God speaking to her heart. If God loves you, then nothing else matters. God is crazy about you. He is stalking you. Open your heart to his love, and your chains will be broken. Open your heart to the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, because that will set you free. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, it seems we are all bound by the chains of something, but we know that you can set us free. And right now we open our hearts and our lives to your overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love for us. And Father God, we give you permission to set us free. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Well, now you have to eat lunch somewhere. No, not everybody's about birthday cake, but that's okay. I'll eat your piece. So please, what, buddy? Your dad broke down in the car? Oh, I'm sorry about that, buddy. Boy, your dad has some troubles, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Pastor Bob. Yeah, he does. God bless him. Is there something really bad about that, Mary? Okay, all right. Oh, he did. Oh, God bless him. Poor Bob. So anyway, please stay. Cover dish. And eat some birthday cake. And then if you're up to it, there's going to be a hag walk afterwards. Our benediction is taken from John. If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen.